I had this big giant box, and I'm pretty sure our TV came in, and this was like before TVs were flat. This was like a chunky TV. So I was like, oh, the thing that I have the most of is books. So I'm going to put them in this big box. And I can tell you, there's a reason why we have all said several times to use small boxes, because that was a nightmare.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level.
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club.
Book club!
For
masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
In this episode number 171, we get to talk about moving and management of books.
My name is Jam. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
My name is Matthew. I'm also a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Stolo people.
My name is Anna, and I'm a librarian in Fort Collins, Colorado, USA, which is the traditional and ancestral homelands of the Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Ute nations and peoples.
My name is Megan. I'm an archivist. I live and work on the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabeg, which is also known as the National Capital Region of Canada.
So, announcements. Number one, it was our 7th anniversary.
It was? Mm-hmm. When?
Last week was the 7th anniversary of the first episode coming out, which is not the same as the first recording or the beginning of the book club itself.
Yeah, no, because we did our first recording in like, I don't know, like June or something of some year.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 9 months before the first episode came out or something.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Don't remember exactly why it happened that way, but it did. I think it's because we were only doing genres at the beginning, and so I wanted there to be like a buffer of episodes before we started doing episodes like this one, in which we talk about something that's not a genre, but is book-related.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, us.
Announcement number two is that we have a book list.
Yes, for this episode, as for all of our episodes in the last few years, we've got a book list of titles by authors of color down in the show notes for this episode. You will find in this episode, since we don't have a specific genre we're talking about, we are doing a retrospective book list of a genre we've covered in the past. You will see a list of family sagas. Family saga fiction by BIPOC authors, Black, Indigenous, and People of Color authors. Check those out in the show notes or on our website, bookclub4m.com.
Okay, cool.
In my mind, I keep referring to this episode as the care and feeding of books, which is like not what it is at all. But like, that's just what I'm like, oh yeah, that's the episode, the care and feeding of books. I'm like, A, no, it's not. And B, that doesn't even make sense. So moving and management of books.
I did wonder whether you meant both the movement and management of books as well as the care of books. And I am not prepared to talk about how to take care of your books properly.
That's fine.
Also, controversial topic.
We'll just talk about moving for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we already have an episode where we talked about how we like organize our shelves and stuff like that? So that's like a part of management of your books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for this episode, we're talking about moving with books or without books. And I had some questions here to guide us. And the first thing when moving with books, which we have all done many times, sometimes great, great distances, how do we choose which books to take with us?
So I find the heaviest books and then I leave those behind. That is not what I actually do, though sometimes that is what I wish I did, because books are so heavy.
So heavy. I would say the first couple times I moved, I did not bring any books with me. I abandoned them to my family's home or other places and just left them all behind. So one option is just not to take any books with you.
Yeah, but if you're leaving them at your family's house, I feel that's different than actually abandoning them.
Yes, unless they get rid of the books for you, in which case, I mean, maybe that wasn't your intention, but the books are gone now.
So I'm going through this right now as I'm moving to a different country, and as I've done many times before, and I've looking at what books I want to bring with me and what I'm leaving behind, and trying to figure that sort of thing out. And some of it is just like, have I read it or not? If I haven't read it, am I going to read it? Is kind of the big thing. And usually, like, I keep stuff because I'm going to read it. But there's a secondary thing is like, how many moves has this gone through? You know, have I moved it between multiple places and not read it yet? And in that case, sometimes it's just like, I just need to get rid of this thing. Just get rid of it. But also, like, so many of the books I own are comics. And so if I'm like, oh, I want to read this, I could read them today. You know, it's not like it would take me forever. It's not like I have like an 800 page novel. It's like, oh, this is a 200 page graphic novel. I could knock it out this afternoon if I really want to read it. And so I tend to, I've said before in this podcast, like, if I don't reread prose generally. And so if it's a prose book that I've read, I will generally just get rid of it. Even if I'm not moving, I'll just get rid of it. I'll go and put it in a like neighborhood book exchange and it's gone. Someone else can read it instead. Comics are more complicated and I will reread those and I will keep those more frequently. And like, I don't know. I'm like, is it good? Will I reread it are the two factors I think that come down to it for me.
Yeah. I think most of the books in which I choose to take with me have a strong emotional component to it. They're either books that were authored or created or given to me by people who are like emotionally important to me, which makes it a smaller amount of books, but is the larger factor because most published books, I feel like I can get another copy if I really wanted one. And because I also don't reread a lot of my prose books, like it's not, rereading is not a criteria that I use to evaluate the books.
It's kind of funny that we're doing this because right now at work, one of the things I'm doing is a large weeding project, which is not about moving them, but is about getting rid of them. And so that's kind of been interesting and fun to figure out what is no longer worth keeping, which can play into this as well. So it's a very different type of book that we have in the library collection at work than we have in my house. A house, as though I live in a house.
I certainly wouldn't apply the standards I apply for weeding books from a library to how I weed my collection. It's a totally different set of standards.
Like, to some extent, yes. But at the same time, like the books I'm weeding from my work collection, I would apply the same standards to my home collection if I had those books in my home collection.
You would never have those in your home collection.
But it's like I'm reading old like how-to guides for various technologies and like travel guides and stuff like that. And like that are over a decade old. So like these are useless, you know?
Yeah.
And so if I happen to have a travel guide or a book about how to use Windows Vista, I would also get rid of that. I would hope I've gotten rid of that like a long time ago, to be totally honest.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though, is I think back to what Megan had to say, and I think about how you relate to your comic book, you know, the ones that you've chosen to keep over time and stuff like that, is because there's an emotional connection to them, or there's a, even if it's not an emotional connection, as in like the author or the person who gave it to me was directly important to me, there's something about the topic or something that pings an emotional aspect for you. But that's not what we're using to weed through or think about our collections in the library. Like that's a totally different, you know, tactic that we're taking.
Yeah, I guess it's rare that I have an emotional connection to a book at work.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I would say that, yes, emotional connection is a component of what I think about when I'm picking what I move with. Rereading might be, but it's kind of rarely a piece that I consider, at least anymore. It hasn't been for a very long time because I don't reread super often. But I can never guess what I'm going to reread anymore. It's very random. Sometimes I reread things that I was like, this wasn't even a particularly good book the first time I read it, but for some reason I feel like reading it again. Who knows?
I saw a really funny tweet this week. That was someone saying that you should read books by authors you don't like if you want to write. Because if you only read books by authors that you love, you'll think that you will never be able to write as well as them. But if you read books by people that like, if you read books you don't like, you'll be like, I could do as good as this. So maybe that's the reason you're rereading a book you don't like. I could definitely write a better book than this one.
I don't think that's it, because I don't particularly have a strong draw to go about writing a book, honestly. I'm fine. I'm good with where I'm at.
What that does make me think of, though, is that, like, how many of us kept textbooks after we were no longer in school?
Oh, I totally did. Yeah.
Oh, no. Sell those. Sell those for the pennies that you get.
I totally did. But then again, I was an English major, so most of my textbooks were like various novels from English literature. So like I kept all sorts of like random novels and things that, you know, had all sorts of notes and tabs and underlining and such from like studying with them. And I kept many of those for a very long time. A small number of them I even still have, but mostly they trickle out of my collection over time. I've moved quite a lot of times, though mostly not to different continents and to like different countries like Matthew has, other than one move, you know, to Canada and out of Canada. But I've always moved with some number of books, although at times it's been a very small number. I've always had some number of books that have traveled with me.
You also left a lot of books behind in Alaska when you first moved to Canada.
Yeah, I did. I did, because in the years leading up to that, I'd lived in my hometown for a very long time. As an adult, in that first part of your life where you start to have like discretionary income and you can spend it however you want. And so I had a lot of books. I'd also started working at a library and I dealt with the deaccessioned items. And so I often took random things home with me. So I just had I had an entire little cabin that was mine and it was chock-a-block full of books. So even though I got rid of a ton of books before I moved, I also just had a ton of books at that time of my life. And like Matthew, you helped me go through that stored collection and really get rid of almost all of them. There were very few things I kept out of what I had stored. That was like a small portion of what I had. Like that was a heavily weeded down chunk of what I had. And what I have now is probably still maybe half of what I had at that time.
Some of them were moldy.
Yes, because storing books is a little rough. Yeah.
But also, it is very funny, that experience, because your parents, when I went up to Alaska with you in the middle of winter to go through all of your books from storage, they were like, oh, this person is serious about this relationship.
Yeah, totally. That was absolutely 100% what convinced my parents that this was like a serious real relationship. Was like, you came up to Alaska in the middle of December and went through moldy, like a giant pile of boxes with random sets of moldy books in them, and sorted them all out for me and helped me like donate them or toss them. A lot of them had to be tossed, but donate and toss.
Jam, you've done some cross-country moves as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a method for picking books to take with you? Did you take any books with you?
Yeah, I took a bunch with me, probably more than I needed to. I'm just looking at my shelves across from me as we're discussing this, and I know I left a ton of books behind. Because when I moved out to Canada, so I'm from the East Coast of the United States originally and moved to the West Coast of Canada, and left a ton behind, because it was like right after I had, you know, graduated from undergrad and had all of my books that I had acquired through college, and then worked for a few years and owned this big, beautiful bookshelf from when Borders in the U.S. closed down. I own a Borders bookshelf that like I truly hope to reunite with one day, but was like much harder to leave behind than the books. But that was too big and heavy to come with us. But I feel like I left a lot of books behind that I like thought they were interesting, but knew I was not going to read them anytime soon. And I feel like I also left a lot of books behind that I was like, I could get this again if I needed to. I feel like that is one of my criteria whenever I'm weeding my collection or moving it. I've also like moved it around Vancouver several times. And when I'm choosing stuff to get rid of, sometimes it's like, I know I can get another copy of this. Where I have some things that either because they're signed by the author or because, you know, they're just out of print, that I am going to hang on to because I don't know if I would be able to replace them if I decided to get rid of them, even if I don't know if I'm, you know, ever going to read them again.
I've definitely gotten rid of books in the past, comics in the past, because I'm like, oh yeah, like this is by like a well-known creator or whatever. It's in public libraries. If I need to read it again, it'll be in the library. And then like 6 years later, I go to check it out. I'm like, oh, libraries don't have this anymore. It's been weeded from their collections.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten rid of that. How am I supposed to reread this now? I have to buy it again? And maybe it's out of print, which means that buying it just becomes even more complicated and difficult.
And for some reason, the only copy is like $700. And you're like, I guess I don't need to reread that.
So that's a conundrum I have right now. I have several conundrums here that I'm going to pose to the audience about getting rid of, what to do with books I want to get rid of. And so this one is Wonderland Volume 6 by Yugo Ishikawa, which is a manga. And I read the first 5 volumes of the manga from, I borrowed them from a public library. And they didn't have Volume 6, and I bought Volume 6. It's the last volume of the series. I bought it because it didn't seem to be available. It's now out of print. It only came out like 3 years ago. Out of print, you can buy it on Amazon for like $120. I am entirely too lazy to try to sell this for multiple reasons. Just because it's on $120 on Amazon doesn't mean anyone's going to buy it is one of it. And so what should I do with this comic?
I should also clarify that you did not pay $120 in order to get that copy to read.
No, I paid like $13 for it. The library that has volumes 1 to 5 will not accept it. I cannot give it to them. That was what I wanted to do. I was like, you have volumes 1 to 5. Please take volume 6. I will just give it to you. They don't want it. So what do I do with volume 6? It seems weird to just put it in like a book exchange. Cause I don't want someone to make $100 off it. which is like weird. It's like, if I'm that lazy, like why should I care if someone else is willing to put in the work and make the money from it? You know?
I mean, if you put it in a book exchange, more likely scenario is it's going to like get rained on and nobody's going to sell it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Ideal.
You could do that. Yeah. You could just let it go. You could give it to a friend and let them make money. You could bring it to, I guess, I don't know. Could you bring it to like, I mean, most comic book stores I've worked at or been into are not super enthusiastic about buying stuff, but
so you've missed the part where I'm very lazy.
You're very lazy. You don't want to go to a place and talk to a person.
And making a trip to sell this to a bookshop or a comic shop is in my mind not worth the money, because I'll get at most like $20 out of it.
Yeah,
if you put it in the book return slot to a random library. And then they'll just put it in their like mini book sale section, and then it won't get rained on and someone random might pick it up and probably not sell it because maybe they're like, oh yeah, the library had the first 5. Now I can finally read the 6th.
Who knows? I will say that I find that the book exchange, the neighborhood book exchanges that I've used and that I see around my neighborhood are generally like well-made and are not leaking. So I don't think them getting wet and damaged is that big of an issue. And things like comics don't tend to stay in them very long is the other thing.
No.
If there's a comic in it, it'll go away pretty fast.
That's true.
There's a remarkable amount of turnover in some of the like high traffic book exchange stands that I've seen around.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to circle back around to the like, how do we decide what we leave behind then? Because I thought that was sort of an interesting conversation. And or piece that you brought up, Jam. And I was thinking about one of the ways in which I've thought about what I have either not brought with me or like truly just gotten rid of, or what I have put in storage. And like one of the things that is often a big factor in deciding what does come with me is that I change as a reader over time, and often moves are correlated with with big changes in my life. And those changes are also changes that affect my reading patterns and reading habits and reading interests. So things that I once found super interesting and motivating may cease to be as motivating as topical or formats or whatever it is, genres, whatever it is. And that may correlate with a move. And so a lot of times, if I'm still, like, I'm thinking back to an earlier move in my life where I still was invested in thinking of myself as a reader of fantasy literature. And so I kept in storage a whole bunch of fantasy novels, even though I knew that I was moving away from reading that and I was making a move that was going to change things yet again in my life, probably more likely in a direction to like continue to be less and less of a reader in that genre. But I had an attachment to them, so I kept them in storage. Whereas, like other times in my life, I've been like, you know, this was a topic that I studied or worked in or was interested in or whatever, right? But I'm done with that, and I don't need it anymore, and I just let it go when I move. Versus, like, okay, this is going to be a continued topic or interest in my life, so let's bring it with me. So that's like, just those changes in yourself as a reader that often correlate with your moves and how much you're still invested in the person you were before, right? How much you're still invested in that identity.
And moves are one of those natural points in which you are forced to confront the stuff that you've collected through your like different interests and identities and make the decision, yes, I'm still interested in this particular hobby or this style of dressing or whatever it is, or no, actually I have stopped dressing in this style or reading these type of books or engaging in these type of hobbies. I can give them away, let them go, sell them off because I don't want to carry them with me to a new place. Like, I think for most of us, we don't tend to go through decluttering, on a more organized or more scheduled kind of way. We don't go through our closets every year. We need something else to force us to do that. And so it becomes a natural point to reevaluate the things that we're taking with us.
Totally.
You mean you don't do spring cleaning every year?
Neither do you, Matthew.
I wash the floors and change the sheets.
For so much of my adult life, I like never lived anywhere for very long. To some extent, that even continues to now, because I'm moving again. Oh my gosh, help, please.
Did you carry any books with you while you were moving so frequently?
You know, it depends on the time and place. I really, when I lived in Asia and I was backpacking around and traveling all the time, if once I finished a book, I got rid of it immediately. I didn't keep any. The only book I had was my guidebook, which dates when I was traveling, you know, because it was just too heavy to carry stuff. And I would keep things when moving. And it was, again, it was like, have I read it yet? And then there's a very small number of prose books I've kept that are all also with Anna. I left them with Anna.
Yeah, I became the repository. Yeah.
So I didn't bring them with me, but there's like 10 or something, you know, like there's not very many. And it's really, it's like books that Terry Pratchett autographed when I met him. Mm. And I used to have way more of those and I got rid of all of them. I kind of regret that a little bit because he's dead. And so I can't get replacement copies. But at the same time, I was like, okay, that's what happens. And with so much stuff, like I just kind of like, it's fine.
Did you leave much book-wise with your parents during this time? Because your parents were moving too, weren't they?
When I moved out from my parents' place and moved to another country, I left a bunch of books and comics with them. They put that stuff in storage and eventually I got it. And so, yeah, that stuff was kept. But then eventually I just gave it all away or got rid of it. I still have a small number of comics from that time period and those books. But mostly I went through it and got rid of it. There's some stuff they have from when I lived in the UK and I would have gotten rid of it years ago, but it was always at like their other house whenever I visited. And then I haven't been able to visit for several years because of COVID. And now they only have one house. So it has to be there next time I go visit them.
Or they've truly gotten rid of it by now.
No, supposedly it's still in like storage with them. And so I'm going to take it and it's all going to get thrown out. I don't even care. Cause it's like, it's been over a decade since I've even looked at what's in these boxes. Oh no, I have a Count Duckula lunchbox. I hope that's still there.
Yes.
So that, yeah, that's the book I want to keep, the lunchbox.
The lunchbox, yeah. I was just thinking about this because, like, your parents have moved, whereas, like, my parents live in literally the same house that I was brought home to when I was born. So, like, it's a very stable storage place for me. I could leave whatever I wanted behind, and it pretty much stays there. I have worked really hard not to do that in my life very much. There was, when I moved to Canada, I put a number of things in storage there, but all of those got cleared out after a while. But I do still have I have literally a little closet space that I have a handful of little things there, because it is the permanent storage space in my life, is my parents' home. But none of it is books. At this point, there are no books in that storage. All of that is like personal items storage. It's like childhood mementos and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It was very entertaining when we visited your parents a couple of years ago. And I mentioned something about Lego, and then your dad went off and came back with your and your brother's childhood Lego that they still had in the house.
Yep. Yeah. They have a whole variety of weird little toys because it's for the, you know, kids come by and visit. And so there's various weird little toys that come out when little kids come to visit. And I look at them and I'm like, oh man, that's a weird blast from my past to see like that being played with. And that's literally a toy that I played with as like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. And I'm like, whoa.
And it's like, yeah, it's like their friends' children or grandchildren or whoever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I left a lot of books at my parents' home, who are also in the same sort of status as Anna's folks, in that was the house that I wasn't born in it, but basically most of my childhood was spent living there. And my mom still lives in that house. So I left a lot of books when I moved out of the house to go to school. And then I moved out of the province to go to a different school and left more books with her. And now that I'm sort of back in driving distance and mostly stable in terms of my work and housing situation, she's been slowly like just giving us stuff that has been left there from when we were young. And I have, every time I go over, I look at the books that I left. And I take some of them back with me. And often they're like older science fiction stuff and some other stuff that I picked up that has, again, like an emotional attachment to. But when I was gone, every once in a while, she'd be like, do you still need these particular books? I might give them to such and such. And I'd be like, yeah, go for it. Like, I left them there. You can give them away if you want to. None of the things that I left felt so personal to me that I would have been offended if she'd given them away. But I keep still bringing more.
Yeah. It's like these weird little breadcrumbs of our identity that are trailed out behind us in different locations with different people.
Exactly.
So I know my parents, when my family moved to Canada, my parents had a lot of books with them. And there were a lot of books when I was growing up in the house. And then when they moved back to the UK, I think they got rid of the vast majority of them because they were just like, we moved these to a different continent once and then never looked at them. we're not doing it a second time. Get rid of them.
Yeah. Books are heavy.
Yes. Do we want to use that as a segue to move to the question, hey, books are heavy. How do you pack them?
Sure.
What are our packing strategies?
Just as many into the box as you can lift.
No.
I think the strategy now is you hire other people to move for you.
It's true.
So if you are moving yourself and you are packing, there are two strategies I think work okay for the books are heavy problem. One of which is have very small boxes so that you can only put so many books in it, which reduces how heavy it gets. The second, which is the approach I took with my last move, which was last July, which is we bought a bunch of plastic totes. And so my method was you get one layer of books in the bottom of the tote, and then anything else that goes into it has to be light, either textiles or pillows or something else that is not heavy. And so like unpacking the books became very random, but none of the individual totes ended up getting heavy enough as to cause injury since we were doing the move ourselves for the most part. except for a number of large pieces of furniture. So that's my recommendation for how to deal with the books are heavy problem.
Yeah. And in the last, 7 years or so, 5 years, 7 years, I don't know. I've moved repeatedly with large numbers of books or fairly large numbers of books. So I've built up not just kind of strategies, but I actually have a collection that I save now of boxes.
Mm.
That I find to be the proper size in order and sturdy enough. So they're thicker, sturdier style boxes that I have slowly collected over time, mostly for free. I don't think I've paid for any of my book boxes. And they're just the right size where I can fit a reasonable amount of books in, but still comfortably pick it up and move it around myself. Because honestly, even if you hire other people to move your stuff, they at the other end of it, after everything is offloaded and in your house, you're going to end up moving some of those things around. So I have to be able to comfortably move those boxes around, right? So that's a big part of it. So I have those boxes. I keep them. I have kept some of them, have made it through literally international moves now. Some of them have been around that long. And then last time I moved, when I moved from Las Vegas to Colorado to Fort Collins, the movers commented, both ends commented, that they could tell they were moving a library. They could tell they were moving somebody who had books. It felt like it. But both of them are like, wow, you actually packed them in appropriate size boxes. And they were very happy that I had packed them in small boxes so they could figure out the proper number of boxes. Because they would carry giant, they'd carry load up 10 of these boxes on their trolley things and move them around and pick up 5 of them at once. I'd never do that, but they could. But they could self-select how many of those boxes they could manage at any given time, because they were small enough for them to control the size and weight of what they were picking up. So that was kind of entertaining to me that I got compliments for properly packing boxes of books.
Are you going to say where the boxes are from?
Oh.
Some of those boxes are also, when we first moved from Vancouver to the USA, we drove across the border and mailed 20 boxes of books to ourselves using media mail.
Yeah.
Mm.
We drove just over the border because media mail is so cheap to mail books with.
Yeah.
And so we just mailed them to where we were going to go. And that's how we moved all those books the first time. And so it's the same, some of those are the same boxes.
My box pro strat from the last time that I moved is that this may not work for everyone. It may depend on your relationship with your local bookstore, but I know the owner of my local bookstore and, we get on well, and I can just send her emails and ask questions unrelated. I order a lot of books there, but also sometimes we'll just send her other emails. And so I emailed my local bookstore and said, "Hey, I'm moving soon. What is your cardboard box situation?" And she was like, "Oh my God, we have so many boxes every week. Please come take as many as you want." If you are moving soon and you need boxes, it might be a good idea to check in with some local bookstores and see if they have, some of them might, use them for other things or not be willing to give them away for whatever reason, but you may be able to get a large quantity of perfectly sized for books boxes to use to move.
Yep, that's a great strategy. So the best boxes I have, funny enough, actually come out of the UNLV recycling bin they had a separate cardboard one, and they were clearly never used, which was, so I don't know how they ended up in the recycling thing, but literally still folded up, never used, never unfolded boxes. And they were for some sort of it looked like a science department or something, right? Some sort of materials item for a lab or something like that. And yet some reason these boxes were not used boxes. It hadn't been clearly hadn't traveled anywhere, perfect condition, and they were the perfect size for books. And there was a ton of them in there. I took a massive number of those, and I did not even take enough of them. There were more I could have taken, and I regret not taking more of them because they are also super sturdy, super thick boxes. I don't know who let go of these beautiful boxes, but they're my favorite book boxes.
Nice.
Do we ever throw out books or recycle them?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What is your criteria for that?
I mean, I said, oh, yeah, like, of course I do. But I just glanced over at a pile of books that I have that I should throw out or recycle that I haven't done that yet. And those are all in that pile because they're like extremely yellowed or just like too kind of like worn and gross to read again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Jam, is like libraries end up with a lot of weird donations of old, crappy, strange looking books. And it's mostly because people feel bad about throwing books away. And so they just offload the task of being the person who puts it in a dumpster to the library, basically, right? To their library donation or to a used bookstore or to whatever it is, right? But somebody ends up having to throw that away. One of the challenges is that yes, some books can be recycled, but there's sort of limitations on how that can be done. And not every place can properly treat recycled books. So you usually can't just put them in your recycle bin. In a lot of places, you actually have to go find out, you have to find a recycling center that has the proper whatever tools to deal with recycling books. So I used to work for a public library where one of my primary tasks was to deal with all of the discarded books that were not going to go into the book sale, plus the ones that have been pulled out of the book sale for like finally giving up on them, and to package them all up and to take them to the one company in town that could recycle books. And that helped me deal with the process of like throwing books away and recycling them and like emotionally deal with that. But I totally understand that like you end up with piles of them somewhere like, this should totally be recycled or donated or something, but I'll just leave them sitting there because I can't deal with the fact that I got to do that.
I've just got a quarantine pile of yellow books.
Yep.
I don't think I've thrown out books in my personal life, though. Like, at work, sure. Because, like you said, you get stuff that is decaying or moldy or just falling apart in a lot of ways. But I'm not sure that I've accepted books into my home that I later had to throw out or recycle.
I definitely accidentally damaged a book enough that I had to just be like, nobody else can ever use this book and it's just going to go in the trash. So I have had to throw books away before because I'm very good at knocking over liquids onto every surface of every type all around me. So, yeah.
I have two books right now that I'm considering throwing out. And I guess I'm asking our listeners what they would do with these two titles as well. So they're two comics. Both like excellent condition, purchased in the last year, read once, you know, they're not yellowing. They're perfectly fine books. And the issue is the content. So one of them is a collection of short stories. And I'm like, oh, these are beautiful art and so forth. And then there's one story about a like monster creature who raises a wolf-headed creature who raises a small child to adulthood, which is all great and cute. And then asks the small child to, or the no longer small child, they get married. And I'm like, no, this is a bad story. I hate this. I don't want anyone to read this story ever. I don't want this like pro-grooming story to exist. So that's number one. And I don't know what to do with that book. I'm like, I think I'm just throwing it in the recycling. Number two is an eroguro. Are any of you familiar with eroguro as a genre?
No,
I don't think so.
It is erotic grotesque. Is what it stands for.
Oh, okay.
And so this is another collection of short stories. And I really struggled to finish this one because I thought some of it was so gross. And it's by a creator who I've read other stuff by them and I've loved it, which also falls within the eroguro category. I knew what I was getting into to some extent with this book, but there was a stuff in this one that I could not deal with, and I really struggled with it. And so this is one that I'm like, I don't want to put this in a library collection. I donated a bunch of stuff to my work collection and they're happy to add them. I don't want to put it in my library collection. I don't want to put it in a book exchange because I don't want someone to come across this and read it without knowing what it is, which is what those things are going to be. Like if it's in a store and you're buying it, you there's expectations. But if you're like, oh, it's free, I'm going to pick it up. I'm just like, I don't want someone to just find this and think it's something that it isn't. And so that's a big challenge as well for me of what to do with this thing.
That seems like you need a big reader warning on the cover to say,
yes,
just so you know.
Exactly. Yeah. But instead what it says on the cover is a pretty girls collection, you know, which is not helpful.
You could add some kind of like note or sticker. It's like FYI content warning.
I think like what I need is like a friend to give these to, but I clearly don't have that right now. I think they're just going to get tossed. So it's unfortunate to some extent, but also I'm just like, I don't want unsuspecting people to find either of these comics.
Yeah, I definitely had a book when I moved cross country. I think one of the only books I just straight threw away because I did not know what else to do with it was like an erotic novel that I bought, or maybe that a friend gave me in high school when that concept, you know, was very taboo and exciting. And then we read it, and I think it was also like the sort of flap copy said it was like a gay erotic love story, and we were very excited, and then it was not that per se. There was a lot of other stuff that happened. Maybe it was that for parts of it, but it was mostly a lot of very sort of upsetting various people abusing positions of power, and also, yeah, it was not good. So that was, I think that is the only book that I've definitely recycled books, like taken them down to like the city recycling center and put them into the special bins there. But I think that's the only one where I was just like, I don't know what to do with you. I think it's okay for you to go in the garbage.
I feel like some people also turn extra books into like art and stuff.
Yep.
There is some costume that I made.
Oh, the Halloween costume.
Yeah, I made some that involved some. Oh, I made one that involved the umbrella that got turned into a spider legs. And then Grace made one that was a book fairy.
That was amazing.
Yeah, our friend made one that had wings made out of encyclopedia pages or something.
I remember helping. Yeah, with that, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, those are fun. Do fun, creative things with books. There's lots and lots and lots of physical books in the world, and like it's okay. I've mostly given mine away for donations, but like there are a few occasions where they've ended up in the trash. It's not very common, but it does happen. And it's got to happen at some point in the life cycle of a book. Like, look, we would be like literally like crushed to death across the earth with the books that we have created if we did not throw them out sometimes or recycle them sometimes.
It's true.
Yes.
On the topic of things that we do with the books we don't keep, I was really in the ideal situation the second time I moved in Vancouver, because I was very close to a bookstore that bought books. So they didn't take a lot of them, but like sort of the cream of the crop that I didn't want to keep was able to like walk down the block and sell a bunch of them. And they, like, luckily for me, were especially interested in like comics and graphic novels. And so I was able to offload a bunch there. But the best thing about that apartment as far as moving with books was that there was a little free library within the building. And it was a large bookshelf in the communal hallway outside of my apartment. And so I could just sort of trickle stuff out there in the months leading up to the move. And then like the, you know, the week before when it's like, I've got these like question mark books, could just do, just didn't have to leave the building in order to just dump a bunch of books and be like, well, this is someone else's problem now.
Jim, I love the idea that you single-handedly changed the reading habits of that entire like apartment complex by like just slowly offloading your particular old, you know, book collection into that little shared space.
It's funny because, yeah, when we lived in Vancouver years ago, we used to get rid of books and acquire books from book like little book exchanges around the neighborhood all the time. And then when we moved to Las Vegas, we could not find any and we were reduced to selling books. We're like, oh, we need to get these out of the house. How do we get rid of them? We have to sell them.
Yeah, we were so grumpy about it.
We can't just give these away to strangers. We have to sell them. And so we ended up selling a ton of stuff. And even at the end, it's like we tried to just give a ton of books to a bookstore. And they were like, oh, no, like you need to come back and like we'll pay you for them. And like we're like,
please take them.
Just take them. And they gave us like $20. And it was like, I don't know why we even went back to the store to be oh, no, we went back to the store because all of our, they were in a canvas bags. So we wanted our bags back.
Yeah, they were in our bags. We wanted the bags back. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, seriously, it was a funny conundrum we had in Las Vegas. Is we were like, we can't figure out how to give away our books around here.
I'm happy to be living in a place where I can just go and get rid of all these things much easier.
I will say, I volunteered in Las Vegas at the public library bookstore, one of them, for a while. And so I had a very good sense of like how many books they got in and what kind of books moved off their shelves and how they dealt with them. And so that became one of my things is like, we are not giving them to the library because almost nothing that we have is going to be resellable by them. It's just not the right market of items for the right type of people that come into their store. And they're just going to have to eventually be the people responsible for getting rid of them, or they're just going to sit on those shelves forever and take up space. And like, so I had a very good sense of like how that space worked too. So I did sometimes bring in items to them that I thought like this could probably move here. But most of the time I was like, I'm not going to just offload my issues onto the public library.
We have two more questions if we want to try to answer them quickly.
Sure.
Do we keep books organized while packing and how?
No.
Size and weight.
Yeah.
Size.
Yep. All organizational like considerations other than do they fit properly in this box in a way that means they won't like shift around oddly and cause issues for people lifting them go right out the window.
Mm-hmm. I spent a few hours last month reorganizing all of the graphic novels that we had after Anna's move.
Yeah.
Just because they were just on all of the different shelves.
Yeah, everywhere.
So just trying to figure out how, like, and like, even once they're organized, they're not organized by any system at all.
No.
It's just like all vibes, I guess.
I have been in this apartment for 3 months now, and none of my books are organized at all. Whatsoever. They are literally, I opened a box, I offloaded everything from that box onto a shelf, I opened the next box, I unloaded everything in that box onto the shelf. There is no order to how books ended up on that shelf. There was no order to how they ended up in those boxes other than what fit. So it is chaos, except for the basic fact of putting like taller, heavier books on the bottom shelves to give them stability, right? On the bottom level of the shelves. That's it. That's my entire order to my books right now. It's this funny thing I do when I move, which is I rethink my organizational system for my books every time when I move. So my organizational system for my books has never been particularly disciplined. It is not like by alphabetical, it's by author or by title or whatever else. It's not even very like genre distinct. My genres that I organize them by change every time based on my mood / how my brain is working at that time of my life. And I have not decided how I want to organize them. And we haven't finished setting that room up where they're going to live. So they stay the order of chaos, of pure chaos right now. And we'll see how long it takes. It usually takes, anytime I move, it usually takes about half a year before I get around to like fully structurally organizing where my books are going to live.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when I'm there in a few weeks.
The main book room in my new place, it took a while to get set up because it needed to be painted and stuff first, and then the shelf set up. And it was a real, like, it was a lot of work, but a real pleasure to put them into a different, more organized order. Like, I think we ended up with some of them in a chronological order and some of them genre-based, and it was fairly pleasurable after the, like, we have put books in boxes and taken them out of boxes and put them on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah.
Bit that we were living in with Boar before.
Yeah, I will agree with you that there is a pleasure to getting them organized in a way that feels right to you. And I think that that is one of the reasons why it takes me so long to get them organized. I can see why for some people that can actually make it like a faster thing you get organized, because it makes you feel more settled and it makes you feel in control of that space and comfortable with that space. But like for me, it takes me more time because I really want to I was going to say think through, but it's almost as much feel through how I want these to be in that space. And I want to give it time to settle in, to be like, how am I going to live in this space? How am I going to feel in it? What is going to be like the way that I use and live and am motivated by this space? And that's going to help me figure out how I want to organize them, like where certain, like, straight up, a big decision for me is which shelf is going to be my fiction shelf versus which shelves are going to be my nonfiction shelves, because I have very few fiction items compared to my nonfiction. And so that's always a big decision, is like which shelf is going to be the fiction and which shelves are the nonfictions in here, and how am I going to distinguish and organize that, and what do I want pride of place in some way, like what feels like the motivating place for me. And there is a pleasure in making all those like slow, careful choices for me.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting integrations was when I first moved to Gatineau, like my books got their own shelves and my partner's books had his own shelves, and now they're integrated, and I'm like, ooh, this is a different feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I only keep the library books separate on their own separate shelf.
Yeah, since Matthew and I are very different readers in that almost all of his that he keeps are graphic novels, we've never had to quite sort out the integration thing. But I think both of us have basically, because I have a very small number of graphic novels compared to his collection, and he has a very small number of prose books compared to my collection, we have just allowed the person who has the dominant collection to organize basically those items, right? And so so ours are interfiled, but like basically, though we've never discussed it, I think the person who kind of has the more dominant set of items in that collection area sort of gets the structural organization of that collection.
Smart.
I would be unhappy if you did not let me organize the graphic novels and just had them on the shelf randomly.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
You just sprinkle them throughout all the rest of the shelves for a little bit of flavor.
That's right.
If that's what you want to do, that's fine, but that's not what I want to do.
Yes, I know. This is like Matthew's, like he was just saying, like, we'll see how it looks after he gets here. And to some degree, that's true, because he is by far the organizational force in our relationships, like the one who actually organizes things. But what he doesn't know is like, you can't rush me on organizing my books. Those will come when they come. You can have control of those graphic novels and get them nice and organized exactly how you want, as fast as you want. My books are going to take time.
You know, you'll probably just come home one day and they'll at least be split into like fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the moves that I've made, at least the smaller ones, the most organized about how I pack things. And that may come from the fact that I have one designated fiction shelf and one designated nonfiction shelf, and one designated comics shelf. And so the sort of way that I organized it while packing was that I would label the boxes based on what shelves they were from, and tried very hard to not mix them. And still tried to, like, they were not like still in author order. I was still like Jenga-ing them to try to get them to be sturdy inside the box. But yeah, packed everything that I could into like separate label boxes by what shelf they belonged to, so I could put them in that area of the apartment before I unpacked them. And then when I got to sort of the dregs, to the end, to like the oddly sized things or just like leftover things, then those ones I would start packing together with, you know, mixed books. And various other, like, you know, mixed flat things that would fit in the box. And I also did once move a library besides my home library, moved a library that I was volunteering at that Megan was also there for, and tried my darndest to keep that organized. And the system for that was starting at one end and packing things and then labeling up to the call number that you got, the, you know, the call number span that you got to, which probably made for some less efficient boxes, but also probably made unpacking them later a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes the boxes I see in the archives they just have a file range on the outside of the boxes, just for like, if you scan the outside of them, you get a sense of what might be in it. It doesn't tell you for sure what might be in it, but gives you a sense. So I can see how that would have worked out really well.
The last question that we have, which we don't have to answer, I just put on here so I could mention one thing that I did, which is, what mistakes have we made when moving with books? And the very first time I like did my first like grown-up move, I had this big giant box, and I'm pretty sure our TV came in, and this was like before TVs were flat. This was like a chunky TV. And so I was like, oh, the thing that I have the most of is books, so I'm going to put them in this big box. And I can tell you, there's a reason why we have all said several times to use small boxes, because that was a nightmare. I'm very lucky nobody got injured.
Yeah. Wow. You actually, they did end up traveling in that box. Like you didn't give up and unpack them out of that?
No, I think I didn't end up packing it all the way to the top. I think I got like halfway through and I was like, oh, this was a mistake. But this is where they are and this is how they shall be.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the box itself didn't fall apart.
Truly, I am too.
Well, I've definitely, like, my boxes have gotten smaller over time. Like, they've gotten from, like, what looks like a reasonable size box down to being, like, small boxes. Mm-hmm. Like, they are genuinely quite small now. You can't fit a huge, very many. Like, so here's one of the things that came up actually when I was moving is I was like, yeah, I have 45 boxes of books. And they're like, oh, my God. You're what? You have how many? And I'm like, no, they're tiny boxes. They're like literally like a foot tall, like not even a foot, like 9 inches wide. And like they're tiny boxes.
These are no like office paper box type dealios.
No, they're like, you could fit a couple of these into any office paper box, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're very small. So when I say I have 45, but you say that to like a moving company and they're like, oh, we're scheduling you for 5 men for 6 hours. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's not that kind of a move.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. Could you imagine like 45 banker boxes full of books? Oof.
If people listen to this episode for general moving tips, I think my only other general moving tip is to have, on the day of your move, have a bunch of canvas bags available to like throw, you know, whatever detritus you have forgotten or, you know, you have left to pack, can just toss it into a canvas bag and bring it. And into that canvas bag, also throw one roll of toilet paper.
Yes. Yes. That is an important one. I had my, like, because I drove my own vehicle here. I had my, like, vehicle supplies bin. I had a little bin that had, like, random stuff that I was like, okay, I'm going to need one of these and one of this and a little of that. And one of the important things that I put in there is, like, and I'm going to put 2 rolls of toilet paper. because you just don't know what happens to your things or to your life along the way. So I have two rolls of toilet paper just in case.
That's right.
Sure.
It's like the extra two pairs of underwear you put in your carry-on.
Exactly.
Just in case.
I know.
If I don't need it, I don't need it. But if I need it, I will really appreciate this.
And with that... Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts other than Spotify. I don't know why I say that, because if you're listening on Spotify, you're not listening to us. If you like the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode and consider giving us a positive rating and a review. And if you've already done that, thank you very much.
For all our URLs and social media accounts, the four in our name is a numeral. You can go to our website at bookclub4m.com, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/bookclub4m, and find us on Twitter and on Instagram at bookclub4m. Our email address is bookclub4m@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to the things we mentioned, social media info for everyone who appeared on this episode, and our genre-based book lists of titles by authors of color.
You can suggest a genre or title for us to read or request a recommendation from us. We have a form you can fill out. No promises on reading your suggestion, but we will give you a recommendation if you request one.
Opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment, if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive.
New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, April 4th, when we'll be discussing the genre of domestic thrillers.
And on Tuesday, April 18th, we'll be giving our Spring 2023 media update and talking about other media we've enjoyed that's not for the podcast.
Hold on. Very loud, weird-looking vehicle just went by. Oh my gosh, I've never seen something like that before.